2019 AXFI conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm here with Mr. Roger Grimes from No B4.
Yes.
And before we get into our conversation, can you give us a quick summary on your on No B4?
So No B4 is the world's largest security awareness training vendor. So we help people. Phishing is responsible for 70-90% of all malicious data breaches, and our company helps train employees so they recognize phishing and what to do, how to put it down. And part of that is we do help customers do simulated phishing campaigns against their employees.
Yeah.
So hopefully when they're being phished, the first time isn't from the hacker.
They know. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, because that, yeah, like you said, that's most of the problem is people opening
that
unpacked, a PDF or something like that.
Yeah, that's, that and unpacked software is probably 90-99% of the risk in most organizations. Just two things.
So whenever I get like an update from Microsoft, should I go, okay, update, so there's patches in there and stuff, or essentially?
As long as it's legitimate.
Yeah,
right?
As long as it's Microsoft.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, hey, let's talk about, you were presented earlier, and then you're going to present again tomorrow, but today's was 10 ways, how to hack into your email, or hack it?
10 ways I can hack you using email.
Okay, and phishing is one of those, I would assume.
Yeah, and this is, actually the talk is 10 of the most interesting ways that doesn't involve phishing.
Oh,
because our email attachments or all the normal ways. So it was kind of a neat talk in that.
Right.
I guarantee if you talk to anybody that saw that attendee, they're going to say it scared the crap out of me. because it just shows you how easy it is in all weird ways. Like, I can send you an email that all you do is open, and I get your Windows password hash.
Yeah.
That I then crack to your password and break into your environment.
Oh my.
Or even that I send you an email and you think you know, if you have a touch screen, it looks like a hair or a piece of dust and you touch it to clean it.
Yeah.
But it's really a link and it sends me your Windows password.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so it's really interesting, cool stuff like that. And there's a patch out there to stop that attack, a Microsoft patch.
Yeah.
No one is applied. It's an optional patch. For reasons I don't understand.
That should be a necessary pack. Yeah.
It's been out for over a year.
Yeah.
No company, and I've checked hundreds, has it applied. Most people don't even know it exists. They don't know the attack exists. But again, I can send you an email. All you do is open it and or click on a link, and I get your Windows password hash.
Wow. Well, why isn't, I mean, here's the kind of obvious question. Why isn't Microsoft making this more public or vice versa?
I think that it must break too many legitimate things, so they don't want to push it out as a required patch. And there is some configuration. When you install it, you have to define what are the allowed networks and what are unallowed networks for a net BIOS functionality.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's just enough complexity that they don't want to push it out.
Yeah, for the average person, that's going to go. Yeah. That's going to send them down a hole.
Yeah, and so I think because it breaks too much, they make it optional. But no one knows about it, and no one knows about these attacks. As a penetration tester, when I do penetration testing, pretty excited about that because it allows me to capture passwords fairly easily.
Wow. Okay, so the significance of this is
that I can send you an email and get your password.
Yeah.
You don't even
know. And 10 ways to do it without even you really knowing it.
Yeah, and there's lots of other ways. I mean, another interesting way is, suppose you're a Gmail user. I can send you a fake text claiming to be from Gmail going, hey, I've detected an attack on your network.
Right.
I'm going to send you a Google authentication code, and if you don't want your account locked out, you need to respond with that code to this message. I then go to Gmail, log in just using your email address, that's all I know, and I claim that my password and my two-factor is not working, and I ask it to send me a code to my phone, the pre-registered phone number, which it then does. That person then sends it in response to the fake text message. There's no way in SMS to tell that it isn't from Google.
Right.
They put the code in, I get it, reset the account, take control.
Oh my gosh.
So it's full of 10 different attacks that are fairly easy to send off. Or another one that I think a lot of people like was, if I get your email address and password, which is not that hard. Again, I can send you an email you open, I get your
I get
your password hash, I crack it to your password.
Right.
I can then send a remote, I can, unbeknownst to you, with almost no way to block it, I can update your Outlook forms, which is like how it displays email, that view you see, so that when I send you the next email, it installs a backdoor that takes control of your computer. And then I can use your password hash to roam around your network, get more passwords, and take it down. And all I had was your email address and a password, which I can get by sending just an email.
Right.
And phishing is quite successful. I could maybe trick you into sending me your email.
Yeah.
But take complete control of your environment, literally from an email address and password to complete control of your environment in minutes.
How prevalent is this? Is this a pretty common thing today, or is it pretty rare?
It's actually so interesting. So I don't. Most of the things I showed are not rare. The Outlook Rogue form is rare.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, I don't think that's been used. As far as I know, it's not been used in a public attack.
Right, right.
The other nine things are fairly common, have been used lots, but still, they're only 1-2% of the attacks.
Right.
So that's part of the reason why I chose them, is that they're interesting, they're more rare.
Yeah.
Regular phishing accounts are 70-90% of all attacks.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, you know, the thing that I tell people, like, I show how easy it is to own your environment, let's say an Outlook form or a rule, and they are used by spammers and phishers and hackers, and it's not detected by antivirus at all. But to find out, all you have to do is do a catalog of your network and find out who's got any rogue forms or any rules and check them. So it's really easy to check for. They are used by hackers. And so that's another thing. Or to tell the IT security team, if someone updates their Outlook form, make that be an alert, and somebody should just check and make sure that that's supposed to be being done.
Yeah, okay, that was my next question to you. Is like, how do we protect ourselves? How does a credit union protect their members? How does a credit union protect itself and then educate their members to protect themselves?
I mean, it's like everything else. It's a combination of technical controls, like, you know, antivirus and firewalls and things to stop badness from getting to your end users, and training. Like, the idea that I can send you an email that and it looks like it has a hair or a piece of dust on it, and if they hit it, it sends their password hash. Most people aren't aware of that. But if you are aware of that, if you, like, get one of those emails and it looks like a hair or a piece of dust and they do it, you're like, I think I just got phished.
Yeah.
And you can let IT know so they can change your password, right?
Right.
So it's always a combination of technical controls and training. Neither one by themselves is going to solve it.
Right.
But together, you're going to get your best bang for the buck.
See, I just learned that, and now I'm going to be on the lookout for it.
That's right.
I never would have known it before.
Yeah, yeah,
so never in a million years. Hey, let's get you to tomorrow's presentation, quantum computing, breaking crypto.
Yes.
So give us a quick 411 on that.
Yeah, so I'm actually just finishing up a book for Wiley on it.
Oh, are you?
Okay. It's become a very popular topic. In the next couple of years, quantum computing is likely to break most traditional forms of public key crypto that we use today. Mostly, like TLS will be broken, Wi-Fi broken, cryptocurrencies broken.
Wow.
And it's always been, I've been following quantum computing for about 2 decades, and when people would say, well, when's the quantum crypto break going to happen?
Yeah.
Everybody would say, next 10 years. Even Bruce Schneier, an acquaintance friend of mine once, when I said, hey, in the next 10 years, he said, Roger, he went by me, he was going on the stage after me, he goes, how long have you been saying 10 years? And I realized, I've been saying 10 years for 15 years. But
so is it like next year now?
I would say that I think we're going to get to where quantum computing surpasses traditional binary computing in the next year.
Oh, wow.
It's
going
to happen
okay.
6 to 12 months.
Okay.
To the point they have enough what's called qubits, quantum bits, to actually break big public keys. I think it varies, no one knows, but if you were to ask me, I think 2 or 3 years. And at that point, everything that's been encrypted using RSA, Diffie-Hellman, TLS, even your traditional symmetric ciphers like AES, your hashes, if you're not using the bigger sizes, will be immediately broken. Today, there is a chance that there are many governments that have already broken them. And if they're not, they're for sure sniffing the traffic, knowing that the day in a couple of years when they get it, they can go back and read your traffic.
Oh, yeah.
So it is a chance that you're at risk today. And so what the talk talks about it occurring, why it's going to occur, how it's going to occur, but more importantly, and the reason why anybody should attend it, is how to prepare. Like, why do I care, and how do I prepare? Because there's things you can do today, and then certainly, for sure, you need to start planning for what happens in a couple of years, right? We have another coming, what's called Y2K event. People think Y2K was a failure because when the year 2000 came, most things didn't break.
Right, yeah, nothing really happened.
But the reality is we actually had years to prepare, and a lot of us were scrambling in the last year. I mean, putting in long hours.
I remember that.
So it became a non-event. Well, this is another type of Y2K thing. If we just let it happen, we're going to get hurt.
Right.
But if we start to prepare and move our organization, something called crypto agility. which means when you have cryptography in your company, making sure that you can swap out the old broken stuff with the new stuff, crypto being crypto agile, will help your company move when it needs to move.
Oh my gosh. So if you're going into college now, and you're looking for a major, and you have job security, is like crypto engineering or something like that?
Well, there's lots of what's called post-quantum crypto or crypto-resistant stuff. Nobody's using it.
Okay.
You for the most part, can't even implement it outside of some special customized projects.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think your company does need to start, when you get with a new, you're buying new cryptography from a vendor, go, hey, what are you going to be doing about the quantum break, and is this quantum-resistant? If your vendor's like, huh? Well, you know,
bye-bye.
It reminds me of the SHA-1 to SHA-2 migration happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
There was a lot of vendors that were clueless.
Right.
I'd go, hey, do you have SHA-2? And they're like, huh? Well, you're not the guy I want to be dealing with. I want to deal with the guy that's preparing his company and my products to be moved over, be crypto agile when the move happens. So I think this is going to be a bigger Y2K issue. It impacts more things. I mean, again, it breaks TLS, which is over half the internet. I think it's 87% of the internet uses TLS. It breaks it. And there are no TLSs that use quantum resistant crypto. They will, but you got to make sure you move to it when it's available or make it as an option. So it needs to be in your planning stage. I think every company, credit union, should have one or two pages just talking about, okay, this is an issue. It's coming for sure.
Yeah.
We don't know when.
Yeah.
This is our plan for us to prepare for it and what to do when it finally happens so that our company can transition more smoothly than, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
At what point do we just throw up our hands and go, you know what, just take my information.
Yeah,
I don't care anymore. I'm going to go live under a rock in the forest.
A lot of it's already out there anyways, right?
I know. But, yeah. So, I mean, it's almost getting to that point. It's like, I'm done with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but
I've been doing this 32 years.
Yeah.
And people always go, hey, you think it's going to be better next year? I don't know.
No,
the past 32 years,
worse.
It just gets worse and worse. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure you must go, how much worse does it have to be for society in general going, we won't tolerate it anymore?
Yeah.
Right now, society's being quite tolerant.
Well, I think we're becoming numb to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you had the Home Depot and the Macy's and the Michaels and all those things.
You hear about a billion record compromise, you're like,
whatever.
That's the fourth one this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm still driving my car down the freeway, you know? It's okay.
Yeah.
So, but
at some point, society is getting more and more enmeshed with mission critical things, right?
Right.
These days, we can kill people, right? We can stop pacemakers. We can disrupt
cars.
EMS systems.
Yeah.
Ransomware is shutting down cities, hospitals, police departments. So there is this need for us to be more secure.
You've convinced me, that there's definitely a need to keep defending it big time. So yeah, definitely. But as a consumer, as just a regular, like, you just put your hands after a while.
I've been doing this 32 years. I'm all about computer security. But a real emergency is a loved one in the ER. Everything else is just work.
Right.
This is just work.
Yeah.
I don't want to be hacked. I don't want ransomware, but it ain't my kid in the ER.
Right.
So I try to keep it in perspective.
That's a good perspective. All right, Roger. Well, thanks again for hanging out with us for a few minutes. I might attend this one tomorrow. I'd be really interested to see. I wish I would have known about your 10 ways to hack through email. So, darn. So I'll come to the one tomorrow. That'd be fun to watch. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you.
Roger Grinds, No B4. Well
Take
done,
care.
Sir. Good job.
Thank you.